Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have just to come together in this room, just get to sing about you, just get to speak Jesus over every darkness, over every enemy, and over our families, and over everything that we see in our lives. Father, I just pray that as we go into this time during the message, God, that you would just open the heart and the minds of these students, Father, that they would just hear from you. God, just take me out of the equation, God, that these are your words through me and not my own, Father, and that these students would just hear what it means just to have an authentic relationship with their parents, but most importantly, have an authentic relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. God, we thank you so much for tonight, and we're just grateful to be here. We love you. Amen. Well, hey, students, how y'all doing? I'm great. Thanks for asking. Wait, Fletcher, how are you there? Weren't you not just right there? How did that work? That's a little confusing. I don't know how that works. Well, hey, if we haven't met before, my name is Caden Walker. I get the opportunity to be here on staff at Revolution as our Jasper Campus Student Director. And I am so excited that y'all are here tonight as we're starting week one of our new series, IRL, or In Real Life. But before we get into it, though, I gotta admit, I hopped on a trend. I feel like I hopped on a TikTok trend, and I gotta show you guys what it was. So has anybody been seeing like this AI trend that's going around about the characters? So I tried it. So I gave AI the prompt, create a character of me and my job based on everything you know about me. And this is what it gave me. So it's pretty spot on. And you've got the piano in front of me because I love piano. You got a Bible and a notebook. It's got a camera. It looks like tonight's message, Finding Purpose, which we're not talking about Romans, so I don't know where it got that from. It looks like a stage with some drums in the background and then students on the other side. So, I mean, it's pretty spot on of what it looks like. Yeah, that's the thing is, that's the point though. There's a lot of things in this picture that are fake. First off, I'm not animated. Last I checked, I'm a physical human being. That's not a real picture of me. And yeah, I've got a wedding band on. I don't have that either. So there's a lot of things in this picture that are very wrong. So then I asked it to give me a realistic picture of myself. So I tried it again, and it gave me this. So it's closer. It at least has the right body shape. Like, it's a real person. It's not an animated character. But what's going on with my hand? Did I lose my whole forearm and my hand just got attached to my elbow? Like, I don't know what happened in this picture. And it looks like if, at least to me, I feel like if I'm standing next to that person's probably like 7'4". Like, he looks so tall. Oh. Did my finger go through my jacket? Is that what? Yeah. Oh, it does. So yeah, AI did not make this picture real at all. Like it looks so wrong. And that's not a accurate representation of me. On the surface, when you look at the face is pretty much dead on. Like I gave it a headshot of myself and it got the face pretty dead on. But once you start looking underneath and start looking at the details, you can tell this picture is very wrong. Like the animated one, you can tell I'm not animated. I'm a physical human being, not an animated character or character. So when we're looking at this photo, we're not seeing the whole picture. And that's kind of like relationships too. And in relationships, we can look at an Instagram photo of maybe a dating couple and things look so happy for them. But then underneath, there might actually be some problems going on. Or maybe I'm looking at someone's family Christmas card and everything looks so happy and healthy and man, their little puppy is in the picture with them too. But underneath, maybe there's a child that's struggling with anxiety or a parent who is absent in their lives. So we're not getting the whole picture of what we see in these relationships. We're not looking at the whole picture. We're not seeing what the relationship is like in real life, which sets up this series that we're gonna be diving into over the next 7 weeks. And it's called IRL, In Real Life. And the whole point of this series is to look at what it means to have authentic relationships. We're not just looking at the surface level photos. We're not just looking at the Instagram post, but we're looking at what's behind it. We're looking at what's buried underneath the photo. What is the real part of that relationship? So we're looking at what it means to have an authentic relationship. And we're going to be looking at those relationships in three different categories. So the first 2 weeks, so this week and next week, we're going to be focusing on family. So this week, we're going to be talking about parents. Next week, we're going to be talking about siblings. The week after that, we're going to talk about friends. So we'll talk about same gender friends and opposite gender friends. And then weeks 5 and 6, we're going to talk about dating. So what to look for when we're dating, and then how to date well. And then on the last week, we're actually going to have a panel. So we're going to have a panel of a couple of Revolution staff members and some pastors. And throughout this series, you guys are actually going to get to ask these questions that we're going to be answering on this panel. So at the end of tonight, when you go to small groups, your small group leader is going to have a QR code, and it'll be on the screen at the end of the night as well, that you guys can actually go in and scan the QR code and ask questions. And we may use your question for the panel. So this whole series is all about developing these relationships and allowing you guys to ask these questions of what you want to know about these relationships, whether if that's within your family, your friends, or in your dating lives. But before we get into the message, though, I want to ask you guys a question, and I'm curious to see if anybody's going to get this one. Does anybody know what the two things in life that were promised? Anybody? Reeves? You got one of them. Yeah, taxes. That's one of them. Yeah, death and taxes. So everybody in life is promised death and taxes. Taxes. Taxes aren't fun. If you work a job, you know how, man, it hurts. Like, you think, oh, I'm going to get so much money in my paycheck. And then I look at my paycheck and there's a lot of money taken out by the government. But it's essential. Those things have to happen, because without the taxes being pulled out of my bank account, our country doesn't run. We don't have infrastructure. We don't have a military. We don't have a government. We don't have anything that happens without those taxes being pulled out. So we have to allow those things to happen, even though we don't like it. But there's an authority over us that says, hey, we're going to take some money out of your bank account or out of your paycheck every month so that way we can keep this country running. And we actually see a story of this, of when some Pharisees or legalists come to Jesus and ask him about paying taxes. So we're going to jump to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to tell you guys the story. And this is the week before Jesus is being crucified. So we're in the last week that Jesus is, or we're in the last week before he is crucified, and the Pharisees approach him and are going to try to slip him up. So let's jump to Matthew 22. And we're going to start in verse 15 and read a couple of verses and see what the Pharisees are asking Jesus. So starting in 15, it says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. So they're trying to go to Jesus and get him to slip up in his words, trying to see if they can get him to say something. Verse 16 says, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anybody's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, so he knew that they were trying to get him to slip in his words, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius, which is the silver coin that they were using at the time. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? So whose face is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So let me ask you guys a question. If you look at a quarter, like the American quarter, whose face is on it? Thank you, George Washington. Let's say you guys should know this. What, you learn about it in kindergarten? Something like that? No? When do you learn about money? It feels like it's in elementary school. Maybe second grade? Is that what I heard? Okay. So you learn about it pretty early on. You learn that money is created by the government. So the money that we have that's physically in our bank account is made from the government. And part of what we have to do as working citizens and as Americans is we have to pay the taxes. We have to pay taxes to our government. So when the Pharisees approach Jesus, they're trying to get him to slip up. And Jesus could have either gone one or two ways in this answer that he gives them. So on one side, if Jesus said, yes, you have to pay your taxes, on that side, then the Pharisees would have accused Jesus The Pharisees would have accused Jesus for Roman oppression. But on the flip side, if he said, no, you don't have to pay your taxes, then they would have accused Jesus of rebelling against the Roman government. So they're trying to entangle him in their words. But Jesus instead says, no. Look at the coin. Whose face is on that coin? Caesar. Caesar is the ruler of Rome at this time. So Jesus is telling them, hey, Caesar, this money belongs to the government. It belongs to them. So yes, give Caesar what is Caesar's. Give him what he does, or what they have to use to be able to keep our country running, to keep our infrastructure running, to keep everything running. So Jesus is telling them, hey, we have to respect our government because it's the authority that is put over us. Because this is the authority that is providing these things, we have to give them what is due to them. We respect our teachers because they are responsible for teaching us to get us into the next phase of our lives, right? We have all these authority figures in our lives that we have to respect because they are the authority above us and in theory and hopefully have the best interest in their hearts for us. And the last one that is really gonna jump into this message is we respect our parents because they are responsible for the well-being in our instruction. So it leads to the first point that'll really just drive the rest of this message. And it says, we honor our parents because God placed them in authority over us for our good. Again, we honor our parents because God placed them in authority over us for our good. So God has placed these people over us. He has placed these authoritative figures over us. And because God has put them there, he is telling us we should be respecting them. We should be honoring them. But let's look at where we are told that. Where do we see that we are told specifically, hey, we need to obey and honor our parents? So we're going to jump a little bit later in the Bible, and we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. So Paul writes the book of Ephesians, and he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus. As he is in Rome, he is in a Roman prison as he is writing this. And this letter has a few themes. So this book of Ephesians has a few themes. And it starts with the theme of unity. And it starts with the relationships of the household. So he begins right before this passage. He's talking about the relationship of a married couple. And then he zeroes in on the household relationships with parents to their children. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at the first four verses. So Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So Paul gives a couple different commandments in here. The first one is to us. And then the second one is to our parents. So we're going to look at both of those right here. So the first one, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Now, what does obey actually mean? We look at this word, it says obey, but I feel like sometimes we can get that word mixed up a little bit. So obey just simply means to follow the commands or guidance of. Let's look at an example of a sport. So when we're playing sports, we have a coach, right? We have a guy or a girl who is older than us who has played this sport before. So they know a lot about this sport. And as we're in practice, before we go play a team, your coach is probably watching film of the other team. They're learning how the other team plays. They're learning how things are going to go. So that way then, as they're writing the playbook, they can write the plays for you guys to execute. They're writing these plays so that way then when you go play the team, when you're actually in the game, you can play this game successfully. So coaches have all these plays for us and they give them to us and we follow them. We follow these plays with the hopes that, hey, this is going to lead to a successful game for us. So in other words, we're obeying our coaches because they have the better or because they know what's going to work in this situation. And that's what Paul is saying here is, hey, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So he was saying that because they have more wisdom than you, because they have lived this life, because they have watched the film, they know what they know what the best outcome is for you. So he's saying obey and honor them. But then he says, This is the first commandment with a promise. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you were here a couple weeks or a couple months ago, we went through this series called Are We There Yet? And we just did this huge Old Testament overview. And in one of the messages, we talked about Moses when he was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And commandment number 5 in Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So when Paul is saying this is the first commandment with a promise, when we look at the 12 commandments, commandment 5 is the first one that gives a promise. It's the first one that says, hey, if you do this, you'll receive this. So this commandment is saying, honor your father and mother. Well, why do we do that? So that way our days in the land that the Lord is giving you will be good. So we honor our father and mother because they have played the sport before. We honor our father and mother because they have watched the film. They know what our best interests are. So we honor them because they have been put over us in authority and they have our best interest in heart. Now, on the flip side of this commandment, Paul tells us what we can expect from our parents as we are obeying them. So Paul tells us in verse 4, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So let me ask you guys this. If your parents never corrected you when you did something wrong, would they be doing their job well? No. If they just let us go willy-nilly and never corrected us, they would not be doing their job well. That is the job of a parent. It says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So Paul is telling us that, hey, we are going to be corrected by our parents. We are going to have discipline from our parents by the instruction of the Lord. So he is saying that the discipline that we will have, the instruction that we will have, should be coming from the book of life. That everything that our parents are entrusting in us is coming from God's word. It's coming from the Lord. Now, that's not saying that our obedience to our parents should outweigh our obedience to God. Our obedience to God is always number one. In fact, in 2 Timothy, this is the only time where we are told that we can correct our parents because we are told, hey, scripture is good for correction. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that, hey, you should go flip through your Bible and try finding a piece of scripture that I can use and be like, hey, look, mom, dad, according to the Bible, I should do this. I should go sneak out at night. I should go cheat on my math test. No. That's not what I'm telling you to do. What I am saying, though, is that our obedience to God does outweigh our obedience to God, our obedience to our heavenly Father is before our earthly Father. But our obedience that we have for our heavenly Father is what is outpouring for our obedience with our parents. Because we are obedient to God, because we have said, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient to what you told me to do. Well, what does God tell us? To honor our father and mother. So because I'm obedient to God, I will then honor and be obedient to my parents. So what can we expect from this relationship? What can we expect from, because I'm obedient to God, because I trust him with my decisions, that because he has said, hey, I've put these people over you, and you should honor them and be obedient to them. So what should we expect from this relationship with our parents? Well, it leads to the main point of tonight, and that's real relationships require real obedience. To have a real relationship with someone, it requires real obedience. That I can't just go willy-nilly and just say, okay, cool, yeah, these people are over me, but I'm not going to listen to them, though. No, real relationships require real obedience. And to build that real relationship, that obedience has to last. Now, you might be sitting in this room thinking, well, I know more than the people that are over me, though. Like, gosh, like my parents don't understand. They don't understand why I want to do this. Well, let me ask you this, and be honest with me. Raise your hand if you think you know more than your parents. Ooh. I see a couple hands, and I bet you the hands that aren't up are because your parents are sitting behind you somewhere back there, right? But let me tell you this. I can promise you, you do not know more. Like the analogy with the coach and they play this sport. Your parents have lived life before. They know what to do. If I were to go up to my parents and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you because I think I know more about how to live my life. I know more about how to build a successful family. I know more about how to be financially responsible. Well, I can tell you this much. They know more about that than me. Because do I have a family yet? No. But they do. And I'm standing here, so I say it's a pretty successful family. Right? So I can promise you this. We do not know more than our parents. They have lived the life longer than we have. They have studied the playbook longer than we have. So that real relationships require real obedience. And to have that obedience is what's going to cause those long relationships to last. Excuse me. Now, maybe you're in this room tonight and you're thinking, well, I can't. I've burned my bridge too much. Like I've told my parents off too many times. They're never gonna want me back. Like, man, I've just been way too rude to them. Well, I want to share with you guys a story that Jesus actually tells us later on, and it's the heart of most parents, where if you might be saying, no, I've gone too far away. Well, here's the story of the heart of most parents. So again, if you guys want to flip a little bit earlier in your Bibles, we're going to go from Ephesians to Luke, and we're going to be in Luke 15. And it's a story you may have already heard of before, but I'm just going to share it with you guys again. So in Luke 15, starting in verse 11, this is Jesus talking in a parable, and he says, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in a reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him in the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." So in this story, we see that this son went to his father and said, "Dad, I want you to give me my inheritance now." So what the son was going to get from his parents once they passed away, what they were going to pass down to him, he said, no, I want you to give me that now, and I'm gone. So the father gave him what he asked for. He gave him everything. He gave him his inheritance, and he went away and spent it all. And then a famine came out, and he had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to stay, and all he wanted was just some food. So, and all he was hoping for was just to eat out of the pig troughs. I mean, he was bottom of the low. But he had totally burned his bridge with his dad. But then in verse 17, we pick it back up, and he comes to a realization. This is talking about the son. He says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." So in this story, we see this son, he remembers, man, the guys that are working on my dad's land, I mean, they eat good. And they're just hired hands. So he says, "I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm not even going to ask him for forgiveness. I'm just going to ask him for a job." And before he even gets to his father sees him and runs to him and hugs him and wraps him in a robe, puts a ring on his finger, and says, "We're going to throw a party and celebrate because you're home. You ran back and you came back to me. So we see in this story that the son was so scared to go home. And he thought that the father had just disowned him and he was done. But instead, the father showed him an abundance amount of grace, nothing like the son had ever thought of. And that's exactly what our earthly fathers should be doing. But maybe you're in this room tonight and maybe you don't get that from your dad. Maybe you don't get that from your parents. But that is 100% what our heavenly father gives us every time. That even when we are the prodigal son, when we have said, you know what? No. I know more than God. Like, I don't have to rely on him for my daily decisions. And I run away from him. And then once I hit rock bottom, I said, all right, I don't think he's gonna take me back, but I'm gonna give it one more try. What is God doing? He runs after us. He's standing there with open arms saying, come back. I'm gonna hug you. I'm gonna put a robe on you and we're gonna throw a party and celebrate. Because that's who our Heavenly Father is. He is standing there with arms wide open and we're running right back to him. So tonight, if you feel like that you've run away too far, you feel like you've run away too far from your earthly parents, you feel like you've run away, that you've burned a bridge with your parents, I just want to encourage you, have that conversation with them. Because I bet you that they probably have this mindset and they want to love you and they're just waiting for you to come back. But maybe on the flip side, that you've run too far away from God. You think that you've burned a bridge with him, that you've sinned too many times against him, that you have just burned that bridge. I can promise you 100% that's not the case with him. I mean, he decided that he was gonna send his son down to this earth and suffer an insufferable amount of pain and die for us just so we can have a relationship with him. Just so we can have a relationship with him and love him and live with him for the rest of our days. So I can tell you, you are not too far away from God. He is standing there with open arms and he is ready for you to come running back to him. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you just so grateful today. Father, we thank you just for the truth of your word and who you are. Father, I just want to pray for every student in this room, God, that maybe they feel like they've run too far away from their parents. Maybe they feel like they've been way too disobedient to just the authority figures in their lives, whether if that's their parents, whether if that's somebody else in their family, whether if that's their teachers, whoever it is. But Father, like you show us in the parable of the prodigal son, that man, if we just go back, if we just walk back to their arms, that most likely they're gonna be standing there with open arms. But God, tonight, we're just so grateful that we know that 100% of the time that when we come back to you, you are standing there with open arms and you're waiting for us to run back to your arms. Maybe you're in this room tonight, though, and you feel like you are too far away from God and it's embarrassed you too much to ever even start a relationship with him. If that's you in this room tonight and you've never said yes to Jesus, I just want to encourage you to make that tonight. Tonight is the night that you're saying, I'm putting the stake in the ground and I'm getting away from the famine. I'm not gonna eat out of the pig troughs anymore. I'm not gonna rely on my own strength, but instead I'm going back to my father's house and he is gonna be standing there with open arms waiting for me. So if that's you tonight and you just want to accept Jesus tonight, I just wanna encourage you to say this prayer with me. There's nothing special about it. It's just a conversation between you and God. You don't have to say these exact words, but you can just say something like this. Say, Father, God, I know that I am a sinner. I choose to run away from you. And because of that choice, that I have been separated from you. But Father, tonight's the night that I'm deciding that I'm not eating out of the pig troughs anymore. I'm not gonna rely on my own strength, but I'm gonna come back to you. I'm saying yes to you. God, just thank you for sending your son, that you would just die on the cross to pay my penalty that I deserve. And because of your blood, because of the blood of Jesus, that I get to spend eternity with you. If that was you in this room tonight and you just prayed that with me, I just want to encourage you to take a bold step. I just want you to stick your hand in the air. We have some leaders that are gonna come around and put a Bible in your hands. And this is just a next step, and it's just a copy of God's word. It's exactly what he wants you to hear. Again, if that was you, just stick your hand up. Maybe right now you're in this room and you feel like you're too scared to stick your hand up, and you don't want to take that step right now. When you get to small group tonight, your small group leaders are more than happy to have those conversations with you. Maybe you're still confused on how to walk this life with Jesus, and that's what your leaders are there for. That's why they're here, just to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. For everybody else in this room, Father, we thank you so much for tonight. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come and sit under your word. We thank you that we just get to come in and worship you, get to sing songs about you, get to speak Jesus over our lives. And Father, we thank you just for this community that you've brought around us. We thank you for real relationships, and real relationships that will last us for an eternity. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.